Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
I want to welcome you to our program today. I'm glad you could join us for today's message. Today I'll be preaching from the book of Colossians. Turn to the New Testament book of Colossians, Paul's letter to the church at a place called Colossae. Colossians chapter 1. And the title of the message is taken from verse 20 of this chapter, Colossians chapter 1. Peace through the blood. Peace through the blood. But I want us to go back to verse 12 of Colossians chapter 1. I want to read through these verses and make some comments. And what I want to show is that peace with God comes only through the blood of Jesus Christ. Peace with God. And there must be peace with God. And this is the doctrine of reconciliation. Now, why must there be reconciliation? Well, reconciliation takes in mind that there are two parties who are at odds. And there's something that keeps them apart and makes them enemies. Well, the Bible teaches us that God is holy and just and righteous, and He cannot tolerate or have fellowship with sin. It also teaches that man by nature, and that's all of us as we are naturally born, we fell in Adam into the rebellion of sin and death, a state of sin and death, and that we are not only fallen in Adam, because we sinned in Adam, the scripture teaches that Adam was the representative of the whole human race, and when he fell, we fell, when he sinned, we sinned, Romans 5:12. But we're sinners. And sin makes us enemies of God. Now somebody says, well, I'm not a Christian, or I've never been saved, or I don't go to church, but I'm not an enemy of God. My friend, if you're a sinner by nature, if you're a sinner by your fallen Adam and a sinner by nature, you're an enemy of God. That's what the scripture says. I'm going to show you that. That's what the Bible says. Doesn't matter how you think or how you feel about that matter. Listen, there's only two types of people on this earth. Sinners saved by the grace of God, and those are the ones who've been reconciled to God. Sinners still lost in their sins. If you're a lost person, if you're in unbelief, if you don't know Christ, you're an enemy of God. Now, you may be gentle, you may be moral, all of that, you know. You may not want to harm any Christians. But in God's sight, you're His enemy. And so God and sinners must be reconciled. And this reconciliation must be on some common ground that meets the need of both. Well, what is God's need? Well, God, listen, it's not God needs me or you, no. God needs to glorify Himself. That's what God needs. God is so high and so unique and so glorious. He must have the glory. You know why? Because He's God. It's not because He's conceited. If you see any man who must have the glory, that man's conceited. There's no humility. But God is God. He's the creator of this universe. He's the all-knowing, all-powerful. He is everything. He is within Himself infinite. So God must be glorified. To God be the glory. Great things He has done. And then man, what is his need? He needs salvation. I'm a sinner. I need salvation. I need forgiveness. I need mercy. I need grace. I need unconditional love. I cannot earn anything from God, and I don't deserve anything but wrath. I need forgiveness and pardon. I need spiritual life. By nature, I was born dead in trespasses and sin. The Bible teaches that. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses. I need to be quickened. I can't quicken myself. Now, here's the issue. Because of sin, God, listen, how can God save me, have mercy upon me, be gracious to me, forgive me, give me life, and still glorify himself in his justice, his truth? How can God be both a just God and a Savior? That issue of sin that keeps us apart must be dealt with. Now, I can't deal with it. You can't either. Cain tried to deal with it by his works. And the Lord told him, he said, look, he said, if you do well, you'll be accepted. What was it to do well? It's to bring the blood of the Lamb like Abel. That's a type of Christ. But he said, if not, sin lies at the door. You've got it to deal with. And it's like a roaring lion outside your door ready to pounce, and you're going to lose that battle. I cannot deal with sin by way of satisfaction to God's justice for it. I can't deal with it to get rid of it. You see, it's so much a part of human nature that we can't conquer it. So that sin matter has to be taken care of. Well, this is what Colossians 1 is teaching. Look at verse 12. He talks about giving thanks unto the Father, God the Father. Now, he's talking to believers here now. He's not talking to everybody without exception. He says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet, qualified, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. God the Father makes his elect, his people, qualified to be partakers. That's a fellowship word. Of the inheritance. In other words, they're equal partners in an inheritance. Now, you don't work for an inheritance. You don't earn an inheritance, see. Somebody dies and bequeaths it to you, and it's an inheritance of the saints. A saint is a sanctified person, a sinner saved by the grace of God. And he says, in light. Light means truth and life. That's what Christ is to his people. So he says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet or qualified to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now, what happens here? How am I saved? Not by what I do, not by what I decide, not even by what I believe, but by being translated delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. God delivers me from the power of darkness. Listen, salvation's of the Lord. It's not of your free will or your decision. Do God's people make a decision to follow Christ? Yes. But only after God in his power by the Holy Spirit has given them life and delivers them from the power of darkness and translates them into the kingdom of his dear Son. You see, salvation is not conditioned on you or me. It's not conditioned on our decision. Are God's people drug into the kingdom of God against their will? No. God changes their will. They're unwilling by nature. They will not come to him. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. Man by nature will not seek the Lord. He'll seek religion. He'll seek a God of his imagination. But he won't seek the true and living God according to the Scripture. He has to be delivered by God's power and grace through the Holy Spirit who comes forth from Christ. the power of Christ, he has to be delivered from the power of darkness, unbelief, self-righteousness, pride, unbelief, and translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And what happens is God makes him willing in the day of God's power. He gives him a new heart. That's what he says in the new covenant. Jeremiah 31, Hebrews chapter 8. He gives him a new heart. He gives them a new spirit. He causes them to walk in his word. And then he says, verse 14, now it's his dear Son in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. You see that? Redemption. You see, reconciliation to God comes by redemption through the blood of Christ. The blood is the full payment of the debt of God's people, God's elect, of their sin imputed, charged, accounted, reckoned to Christ. He took my debt. He said, put it on my account, I'll repay it. I can't pay for sin. You can't pay for it. The price is too high. But one who is willing and able to pay for that did for his sheep. He didn't do it for everybody. He did it for his sheep. Who are his sheep? Those who have been delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. And this includes the forgiveness of sin. You see, the forgiveness of sin doesn't come by what I decide or what I believe. It doesn't come by my tears of repentance. It comes by the blood of Christ. And that's what I believe. Somebody said, well, I have decided to follow Jesus. If you really have, then it's because you've been made willing to do so in the power of conviction by the Holy Spirit. And this forgiveness of sin does not dishonor God's justice. It does not deny his righteousness or his truth. He is still honorable. He is still glorified. How? Because it's based upon the payment of the redemption price. Justice is satisfied. The law of God is honored. And sinners are forgiven on one ground, one basis. The blood of Jesus Christ, that's the same as the righteousness of God revealed in the gospel. That's his righteousness imputed to his people, charged to his people. Just as the sins of God's people were imputed, charged to Christ, his righteousness is imputed to them. That's what it means to be washed in the blood. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. You see, this is how God can forgive his people, his elect, and still be honored and glorified in his justice, his holiness, his righteousness and truth. And then look on. He says in verse 15, Christ, who is the image of the invisible God. Now that is a statement that literally means he is God. Every bit God. The firstborn of every creature, the firstborn of every creature is speaking of his resurrection, whereby because righteousness has been established upon which the new creation, the church, that they are created. He says in verse 16, for by him were all things created, that is Christ. Remember John said that in John chapter 1, in beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. All things were created by him. He says that are in heaven, verse 16, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions, principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. That's all governments. Even ungodly governments were created by him for his glory and for his purposes. He's not the author of the evil. He's not the author of sin. But I'll tell you what, he works all things after the counsel of his own will, to the praise of the glory of his grace. Can I explain all of that to you? Absolutely not. And you can't explain it to me. And there's no use going around here denying God's sovereignty in order to elevate man's responsibility. Are we responsible and accountable? Yes, we are. But God's in control, folks. He says in verse 17, and Christ is before all things, and by him all things consist. Listen, Christ is the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending. Everything's about Him. And the only reason this world exists today is for His glory and His preeminence. Look at verse 18. He's the head of the body, the church. That's His people. And it's not denominations. Somebody says, well, I believe there's saved people in every denomination. I don't. Because there are some denominations. Now, listen to me very well. Somebody said, why are you so judgmental? I'm just showing you what the Word of God says. There are some denominations who call themselves Christian, but they deny the truth. And they're not Christian. They're Satan's tares. They're the false church. In the book of Revelation, you read about Babylon. That's the false church. And there are multitudes that flow into Babylon believing a false gospel. Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 1, if they come preaching another gospel, which is not another, let them be accursed. Anytime a preacher or a denomination or a church body tries to mix man's works or man's will or make salvation conditioned on man and call it the gospel, that's a false gospel. It's all in Christ. Christ is the head of the body. That's His true church. The church refers to God's elect. Ruined by the fall, sinners, but redeemed by the blood. And those who are regenerated by the Holy Spirit, born again, quickened under the preaching of the truth, the gospel, wherein the righteousness of God is revealed, where Christ is preached, and they're brought out of the world into the family of God. That's the church. And He says, look here in verse 18, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, His resurrection, that in all things He might have the preeminence. Christ has the preeminence. And then verse 19 says, for it pleased the Father that in Him, in Christ, should all fullness dwell. All fullness. The fullness of the Godhead dwells in Him. Over in Colossians 2:9, it says, for in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In other words, the fullness of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, the glory of the Godhead dwells in the person of Christ, God in human flesh. And verse 10 of Colossians 2 says, and you are complete in Him, which is the Word, which is the head of all principality and power. In other words, my completeness as a sinner saved by grace, my complete salvation is in Christ. My complete righteousness, my complete forgiveness, pardon, my complete security, it's in Christ. It's based on His blood and righteousness. And so go back to Colossians 1 and verse 20. Listen to this. And having made peace through the blood of His cross. There it is. Peace through the blood. His blood is the blood of the cross is His death. His death is satisfaction to God's justice for the sins of His people. His death is righteousness established, which secures and literally demands their full salvation. Christ did not die for any who perish. It's not like that preacher said back in the 50s over in Chicago. He made the statement that hell is a monument to God's failure to save multitudes. No, sir. Hell is a monument to God's justice to give sinners what they deserve and what they've earned. Heaven is a place of grace through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ. You say, well, then, if that's the case, it doesn't matter whether I seek the Lord or whether I believe. Oh, no. Because you see, those things that Christ has accomplished on the cross by establishing righteousness, which God has imputed, charged to His people. Listen to it, verse 20. By Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. God is going to bring His people to be reconciled unto Him on the same ground, the blood of Christ. In other words, they're going to be brought by the power of Christ through the Holy Spirit in the new birth to seek the Lord and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. How do I know if I'm one of God's elect? How do I know if I'm one of Christ's redeemed ones? How do I know if I've really been born again? I find I'm reconciled to God by the blood of Jesus Christ, not by anything else. If you add anything else to the blood, the righteousness imputed of Christ, my friend, it's corrupted. And that's what he means. He says, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. In other words, it doesn't matter where you are. And then look at verse 21. Now remember I said that by nature we're enemies of God. Listen to this. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. In other words, those who are sinners saved by grace, those to whom God has been reconciled by the blood and who have been brought to be reconciled to him by the blood of Christ. And you could say by faith, because they believe in him, they plead his blood, they plead his righteousness. They were, before this reconciliation, that is God bringing them to himself on this ground, they were enemies. They were alienated. In other words, they weren't near to God. They weren't in fellowship with God. In their minds, enemies. And it was by wicked works. Now, who do you think he's talking about there? And I'll tell you what, this is one of the biggest mistakes that people make in interpreting the Bible. You say, well, they were enemies in their minds by wicked works. What are those wicked works? You say, well, that's talking about the immoral segment of society, the openly immoral and openly rebellious. My friend, that's talking about all sinners by nature, even the most religious ones. Even the most sincere ones who are in unbelief. Even the most moral ones who are in unbelief. Think about Saul of Tarsus. He was a religious Jew. A sincere person. A moral person. But he hated the Lord Jesus Christ. He did not believe in Christ. His works were wicked works. Think about Cain, back in Genesis chapter 4. Coming to worship God, to be accepted with God, based on his best efforts, based upon his works. His works were wicked. That scripture says that. Abel's works were righteous. What was Abel's works? The blood of the Lamb. You see, the only thing that I can bring to God as a sinner now, as I am a sinner, the only thing that I can bring to God that will be acceptable to him, that will be good in his sight, is the blood, the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. If I bring anything else of myself, even things which I believe God has enabled me to do, like preaching in his name or casting out devils or doing men, it will not stand the test. You see, a sinner who's been reconciled to God is a sinner saved by grace. And that grace reigns through righteousness, not mine, not yours, but Christ, through Jesus, unto eternal life, by Jesus Christ our Lord. It's the righteousness of God, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. And they've been brought by the Holy Spirit in the new birth. They've been quickened, and they've been brought to faith in Christ and repentance of their wicked works, even their religious efforts. He says, he's reconciled us, verse 22 of Colossians 1, in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Now, how in the world can a sinner like me honestly claim that I'm holy and unblameable and unreprovable in God's sight? This is not your sight or my sight. It's God's sight. There's only one way, and that's as I stand before God in Christ, washed in his blood and clothed in his righteousness. As God has been reconciled to me and I reconciled to God through the blood of the cross. Peace has been made because Christ is my peace. Somebody said, well, this fellow needs to go out and make his peace with God. Well, how's he going to do that? What's he going to do? Is he going to join a church, get baptized, walk an aisle, take the Lord's Supper, give a tithe, go to confession? Those things will not make peace between God and sinners. There's only one thing that will make peace, and that's the blood of the cross. Again, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Well, in verse 23, he says, this is true, this reconciliation, this peace through the blood is true, verse 23, if you continue in the faith, that is in the gospel, grounded and settled by the power of God, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. There were some who claimed to believe it, and then they left it. Well, here he's talking about you be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. And if you don't, listen, if I believe it, and if I'm not moved away from it, I'll guarantee it's the power and grace of God. And he says, which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Now, if you continue, people use that verse to try to prove, well, you see there, if you don't continue, you'll lose that salvation. That is not what that verse teaches. And I've dealt with this on the program many times. That if there is not a conditional situation. He's not saying you'll stay saved if you continue. That if is not conditional. It's evidential. In other words, this is true of you if you give the evidence of continuing, being patient, enduring. If you give evidence of persevering. Now, how do you know that? Well, because this is the gospel of grace, not of works. You see, under the old covenant, Israel, the ifs that were given to them were conditional and they failed. But under the new covenant, which is a covenant of grace conditioned on Christ, all the ifs contained in the promises of that covenant are evidential. You're saved if you continue. That's the evidence. Continuing is the evidence. Peace through the blood. I hope you enjoyed this message, and I hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries, or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.